Question for you today. As we're thinking about fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life, have you ever gotten discouraged? I mean, other than this week. Have you ever gotten discouraged? Praise God, we all have the victory. That's good. Come on. You know, I don't want you to claim it and proclaim it. I'm not saying that. But how, raise your hand if you've experienced discouragement. Yeah, we all have. Do you know that there, believe it or not, I say this very carefully, even our Lord expressed discouragement. He did. It's in the gospel. Even our Lord did. And I thought when it comes to this fight, this good fight of faith, one of the enemies of fighting that good fight is discouragement. And it happens to every one of us. We're all on different levels. If I were to say to you, oh, this discouraged me, you might laugh and go, you got to be kidding me, you little baby. You might say that. Same thing if I heard something from you, I might go, oh, you little sissy, why don't you just grow up? We can do that because it all changes. It's all different for every one of us. But I know this, and you know that when discouragement hits, it's hard. And you can't have someone come along and say, why don't you put a rubber band on your head and snap out of it? It doesn't work that way. I wish it did, right? If that worked, you know what? I'd be handing out rubber bands this morning and gladly snapping it. That doesn't work. You can't just say, don't you love it when someone comes over and just goes, and you share with them, like, I'm just a little discouraged. And they're like, that ain't nothing. Right? There are people like that. Talk about compassion. That ain't nothing. And before you know it, this is what happens. I'll play it out for you. Steve just shared about how he was a bit discouraged. And I'm like,
Pastor, I'm discouraged.
You know what happened to me? You know what happened to me? Just this week, I just haven't been sleeping. I haven't been eating right. And then all of a sudden, they start sharing with you, and the two of you together go, well,
that's like...
we got the picture. The enemy knows. He knows what hits your button and the elevator goes down. He knows how to do that. We have an enemy who's shrewd. Brother Billy put it in the metaphor of a lion from the Bible as well. I mean, that whole idea that the lion attacks. Well, the lion's very wise. And he knows what's going to get you discouraged. And what happens when you're discouraged? Well, your eyes are off Christ. You're more on the problem. Isn't it interesting how the problem can shout louder than the answer? Always. Right? I mean, in our heads, I wish it were so that the answer from heaven yelled, but it doesn't. It whispers. But the question looms so big, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Right? You know what I thank God for? I thank God for the counsel of His Word. You know, this isn't just another religious book on the shelf with, you know, the Torah and the Quran and just another religious book. This is the living Word of God. This is our counselor. I'm so thankful that I have gone to this book so many times when the enemy pushed my elevator button down, when I got discouraged, maybe by something someone said, something someone did, something someone didn't say, something someone should have said, something I had hoped somebody would have met me in a way, and the enemy pushed my button down, and things didn't go my way. You know, I've run to this book, and the words of life have lifted me. And you know, I'm thankful for, as a young person, that a pastor suggested, in his great wisdom, and maybe you've heard it too, Keith, read the Psalms. You know, when you read the Psalms, you know, you find out something. Oh my goodness, God knows how I feel. Isn't it comforting? Brother Paul used that word, empathy. What was it again? Empathy, thank you. Right? When somebody knows how you feel. Really. Imagine God saying, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I can start on the bottom floor with you. What kind of God is this? How great of a God is this? You know? And one thing I've found, I could tell people, I can tell people, say, you don't really know how I feel, but I can't say that to God, because He knows. And I want to talk to us today about how the Word of God can be our counselor. Have you ever, let me ask you something, have you ever talked with somebody that was a counselor? Now, I'm not all big on going to a counselor. I've known folks who've gone to a counselor, and you know what? They've come back two ways, more messed up and poorer. It's true. They have. They've come back. What? Now, get this. This one couple said to me, we went to a marriage counselor. We were having trouble in our marriage. Well, how did it work out? I said. They said, well, he listened to my wife, and then he listened to me. And he listened to my wife, and then he listened to me again. Then he listened to us together. And then he came up with a deduction, a conclusion to the thing. He said, you both are unhappy. Well, what should we do with our unhappiness? He says, look, if you're unhappy with each other, there's not much you can do. You've got to separate. We came to you, though, that our marriage might come together. Well, you're not happy. Isn't it? I mean, come on, folks, huh? It's kind of like a bad sitcom. But it's the truth, but it's reality. But I'm thankful that there's counseling when you've talked to someone in the Holy Spirit, and they, you ever have that? When you've met someone and, you know, God has given them this gift, they don't even know they have this gift of being a good counselor, and you speak with them. You know what? I have gone to people like that. I've had people that, thank God I've had people like that in my life, filled with the Word, filled with the Holy Spirit. When I went with them, when I went to speak with them, you know, they would let me deplete myself, get it all out there, and when I got done, and they listened with all their heart, they would just sow into me a word, the Word of God. And you know what? I got direction. And I got guidance. God has counsel for us today, and I want to share with you from the Word of God about how we can defeat the enemy when he discourages us. You know, it isn't a cure that you're never going to get discouraged. We mustn't think that. I think that's a misconception. Wow, I heard a word at camp, and I am totally done with being discouraged. You know, I don't think that's life. Not down here. There's going to be disappointments and discouragement, things that will discourage us. What I find in the Bible is this, it's how you react to it. Jesus, he experienced every emotion we did. When you study the Gospels, didn't he? He got angry. He was a little bit discouraged. He said, how long will I endure this generation? They weren't getting it. Joy. All of our emotions. But here's the key. He never once let those emotions dictate in him the will to do or not do the will of God. We are affected by that. You know, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 4. This kind of fits it fits and it doesn't fit, but really, maybe it just gets to the core of everything. Particularly we who are walking with Christ. Look at this, Genesis chapter 4, 3 and 7. And we're talking about Cain, of course. And this is what we read in verse 3. And in the process of time, oh, the process of time. God does so much in the process of time. It came to pass that Cain, he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel, that's his brother, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And what does it say? And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. 5, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. And what happened? And his countenance fell. Now, you know, here's the thing. I have to be honest with you. Growing up in Sunday school, a lot of times I was on Cain's side. Like, Cain got, hey, look, God, he did the best he could do, for goodness sake. I used to think that. You know, even back when they were putting the flannel graph up, you know, I was always looking at Cain going, man, he got a bad deal. He did the best he could. You know, I wonder if Adam shared with them about how wonderful it was to grow things before the curse. Wow, Adam would probably, I'm imagining this like, oh, Cain, boy, I know you like the garden. Let me tell you something before the fall. It was awesome. You know, tomatoes, tomatoes, different types, you know. Cucumbers. I'm using the Greek and the Hebrew. You know, just growing it. I don't doubt he did. And I think, my thinking is that Cain said, wow, that was something, Dad. Before the curse, you grew those things. Grapes you could drown in. You took one bite. That's how it was. And I think, I'm allowed to, I think Cain said, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to beat the curse. It may be so that we live now in a fallen time, in a fallen world, but I'm going to work so hard in that garden. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to beat that curse. And then all of a sudden, you know what he did? He grew some stuff and he worked hard by the sweat of his brow, and he got out there and he, you know, and then he brought this stuff before God. And I would hear that and go, you go, Cain. That's good. But what was wrong? You know, come on, you're all Sunday school kids. What was wrong with it? Yeah. It was what Cain did. Because we fall into that same thing. God, look what I did. Look at God. Every single pot is so clean and no grease on it. Better not. I heard that testimony. Well, you know, he said, look, God, look what I did. And we fall into that too. Look, and but God has in his word requirements, right? That have nothing to do with what we can do, and everything to do with what God says to do. That's a big difference. Well, let me go on. So God doesn't respect Cain's offering, and what does it say happened to Cain? What happened? His cat, right? He got the elevator down. That's why I thought I'd start here with discouragement, because maybe it's the core of our spiritual situation. When God says no, when God says that's not it, when God says that's not what I'm requiring, and you did your best and you tried the hardest, and my goodness, what do you want from me? You ever say that to God? What do you want from me? Right? And God rejects that, and his elevator goes down. And look, verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Oh, let me just, Bible quiz. God asked that question of someone else in the Bible. Do you recall who it is?
Jonah,
yeah. Doest thou good to be angry? Right? But that's another sermon. He says, and why has your countenance fallen? I thought this is the core for we who walk with the Lord. There are times when God says, you're a good fella, but you're not doing what's right. You know? And you know, our countenance can fall. And we can get discouraged. God, what do you want from me then? What do you, I don't, you know, this is where we have to watch out. This is where things could have been different perhaps for Cain. If his countenance hadn't fallen. If he had said, Lord, just tell me where I went wrong. Maybe that would have made a difference. I don't know. But we've got to look out for it. Well, I want to ask us some things here quickly. What discourages you? What's your little round button that sends the elevator down easily? Just think about it. I made a list, okay? With some people, it's the past. Oh, Satan knows that if he pushes that button called the past, that the ghost and the mistakes and the failures are just going to just be like rocks on you and bring you down. He knows that. And you know, we often think and say, well, you can't change it. That's what's killing me, Brother Keith. You can't change the past. There's nothing you can do about the past. You know, the mark is there. Well, I got news for you. There is a great argument for that when that happens. And I've used it, and I know some saints who taught me, and they've used it. And you know what it is? That's it. He's Lord of the past. Yeah, there's consequences. Okay. But the wonderful thing with grace is this. You know what grace does? It doesn't erase the consequences. It gives me the power to face them willingly and say, God, Lord, I know that you can, I know that you can intervene. I know, Lord God, you can turn things around, but I'm willing, by the strength that you give me, to face my consequences. I'm willing. Isn't that awesome? I've seen people do that. I've seen people turn themselves in after they've repented for stealing. I've seen them say, you know what? I know the consequences, and I have the strength of the Holy Spirit to face that, not run from it. That's Christianity, right? How about the future? Oh, the future. Oh, the future's scary, isn't it? It's frightening. I mean, it's scary. What am I going to do? How am I going to get there? How's this going to work out? Am I going to make it? Will I find a husband? Will I find a wife? Will I find somebody as handsome and talented as Brother Keith? I know that's a tough one. But the future can be daunting, right? Can be discouraging at times. Just when you think you're on that bus and you're going to arrive, the future just stops it, right? How about this? Relationships. Relationships can be discouraging. Don't always go the way you want. I'm not only between a boy and girl, but in every aspect of relationship. Father, son, daughter, husband, wife. There's times when that's how the enemy knows how to get you too. Get you discouraged. And what do you do? How do you handle it? How do you handle a poor relationship? Well, the only way you can, like this. Oh. Right? There's a better way. How about finances? Oh, just move on. Finances can be discouraging. Your failures can be discouraging. But I find also the daily grind can be discouraging. You know, day in, day out, day in, day out. Can the enemy, for some people, that he gets them discouraged by the daily routine. Just doing the same thing over. Your limitations can be very discouraging. How about just no clear vision? Just no clear vision. I just don't know how this is going to work. How about feeling alone? That can be discouraging, can't it? How about the list I just gave you all? It can be pretty discouraging, right? I hope it's just one or two of these and not the whole list. Well, I want to quickly mention 7 dangers of discouragement. And if you're taking notes, don't be afraid to write them down. Because what does the apostle tell us? That we don't need to be ignorant to the enemy's devices. Right? So look for them. Watch for them. Be mindful of them. What are they? Well, these are the 7 dangers of discouragement. Number one, it leads to doubt and unbelief every single time. Guaranteed. So when you're discouraged, know this. That the only place this is going to lead me, if I entertain this, is to doubt and unbelief. The second thing is this, selfishness. Ouch, that hurt. You know, when you get discouraged, the enemy wants to suck you right into, oh, it's all about me. It's my world and how it's falling apart. Right? It's selfishness. The third thing is this, it leads to a weakness and a weak watch against the enemy. Suddenly now you're open to other means of comfort that are not for your well-being. Absolutely. Number 4, it leads to carelessness with your tongue. Consider that. For one moment, think about some of the things you say when you're discouraged. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I have my own. But when you're discouraged, you start using your words. I'll give you a few. This rots. Man, nothing ever works out for me. This happens all the time. You do a study on words in the Bible. God created the world with words. God brought forth his dear son by the words of the prophet. Jesus, when we read in the Gospel of John, he is the word, right? He is the word. Words are very important. And when it comes to salvation, what does it say? That if we confess with our mouth, isn't that something? And believe in our hearts that Jesus rose from the dead. That makes a big difference. So how is it that the enemy, when he gets us discouraged, we begin to use words? You know? Wouldn't it be something if we had a hymnal that was for those who are discouraged? And you just start singing, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair. Can we sing that again? Right? I mean, why not? Wouldn't the enemy love that? Turn to 666 in your and just start singing. You know, the sad thing is, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that if it were so in our hymnals, people would request it. Because they come into church and I don't feel like singing today. I don't lead the singing at home, so don't blame me. But you know, sometimes they come into church, I don't feel like worshiping the Lord today. Why? All right, let's sing 666 then. They would rather, and you know, they'd sing it. We can't go that way. We can't let the enemy play with us that way. Here's number five. It leads to anger. The very next thing is anger. Anger against God, anger with whoever comes in the room next. Six, it leads to giving up. That's not fighting a good fight of faith, is it? Right? When you're discouraged? It feels so good to say, I give up. Doesn't that feel good? Why does that feel good? It comes out of our mouth so easy, you know? You're discouraged, and that's it, I quit. I give up. And you're feeling better. The enemy's coming around going, you have a right to give up. You have a right. You show them all. Nobody else really cares. But the enemy, he makes you think that you're the center of it all. And so when you say, I give up, you got it in your head that everybody else is going to go, oh, oh. And it's a lie. Right? No, we need to fight the good fight of faith. How about this? It leads to becoming a discourager. It's always contagious when you get discouraged. When you take that elevator down. You know, have you ever, you know very well. You've seen it. When somebody is discouraged, when they're down, maybe they're upset over a relationship. Maybe they're upset about, they let the enemy celebrate the past in their life. Whatever, you've seen it. They come in and they're just all down. The next thing you know, they bring the atmosphere down. You know what that's about. You could always tell somebody that's having a pity party. There's never any hair on their knuckles. Because they're dragging them on the ground like this. Right? You've seen that? Check out. Look. Let's see your knuckles, guys. Yeah, those are the seven dangers of discouragement. I just want to leave with you before we go. Counsel from the Word of God that can help. If you're taking notes or mental notes, write these things down. Because they're helpful. And it's just counsel from the Word of God. Well, what is the first thing? I've been talking about it. Faith. Choose to believe. Now hear me. Choose to believe. It's not how you feel. It's nothing about how you feel. When you're discouraged, you feel the last thing. But you choose to believe. There's a great event in the Gospel. If you want to real quick, just turn to it. It's Mark 9, Jesus is coming down, of course, from the Mount Transfiguration. And he sees that there's a big discussion going on with the disciples who hadn't gone up in Mark 9. That's around verse 14. And he sees the multitude there, and he sees that the Pharisees are having this discussion with his disciples. And as soon as the crowd sees Jesus, they come gathering around. But Jesus asks the scribes, what are you discussing? And then someone in the crowd goes, well, this is what happened. You see, my son has a mute spirit, and every time the enemy comes on him, he throws himself down and clenches his fist and he has a fit. And I brought him to your disciples, and I said, you know, I asked them to heal him, and they couldn't do it. Jesus exclaims, oh, this faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? And then he says, bring him to me. Well, they bring him, and of course, the enemy reacts in that man again. And then Jesus asked the father in 21, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, this has been going on. And he talked about how he throws himself down, and he said, I brought him to your disciples. He couldn't do anything. But if you can do anything, he says to Jesus, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus turns it around and says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I want to leave with you. Look at this. Look at the wisest prayer in the Bible. What does the man say? Immediately, the father of the child cried out, and with tears. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Two things happened. A surrender of his will. I believe. And a cry of dependency on God. Help thou my unbelief. Faith is the answer for discouragement. Faith has nothing to do. It's the opposite of what you feel. You say to the Lord when you're discouraged, whatever that list affects you, you say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You have faith. You have a confession of your depending on him. Lord, I believe. I've had plenty of opportunities in the ministry for discouragement. I have been discouraged. And you know, I find that this prayer of this man is just what I needed. Lord, I believe. And I set my feet and said, I believe. And you help me with my unbelief. The second thing is this with discouragement. Yes, choose to believe. But secondly, find higher ground. Oh, it makes so much sense. Let me just read to you Psalm 61:2. David knew how to do this, of course. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is what? Higher than I. You know what we do when we're discouraged? We automatically, naturally go to the low ground. David said, I'm going to ask God, what am I going to ask God? Lead me to a rock that is higher. I can't tell you how many times in my experience as a pastor, I find people that, you know, they're missing in church. I call them up. Yeah, I do that. And I say, oh, I missed you. Is everything okay? You know, I just couldn't get there today. Whether they messed up during the week or they just had a bad week, the car broke down, the cat scratched me, the dog did something in the living room, and and the family too. And I just couldn't get to church. How many times I've heard this? Is that looking, is that seeking, is that asking for higher ground? No, right? Well, we know that Christ is the rock. And so it makes good sense to do just what the psalmist did here. He prayed, lead me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want to say getting to church is a pretty good idea. Getting with the body of Christ is a pretty good idea, right? Praising the Lord is a pretty good idea. Oh, but you know, Brother Keith, it's hard when you don't feel like it. No, it's necessary when you don't feel like it. Absolutely. I'm so thankful I had good teachers in my life who insisted I praise the Lord. Reverend Gardner was that, of course. But Sister Grace Schultheis as well. Oh, there were times I got dragged into church didn't feel like praising the Lord. But you know, she would start, you couldn't help it. She'd just start worshiping the Lord in such a mighty way and come down and get up close to you and start worshiping the Lord. And you know, before you knew it, your feet were on higher ground. Well, here's the last thing that's so important. So choose to believe, that's faith, right? Seek higher ground. God has higher ground for you. Don't let the enemy sink you. Here's the last thing. You tell Satan you're not for sale. You tell the enemy, wait a minute, I'm not for sale. What do I mean by that? Well, let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by whom? By God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter, he put it this way. You weren't bought with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, there are times you have to remind the enemy that you've been purchased. This does so much for me. I celebrate it. I never let the enemy minimize that. When he comes around to discourage me, and again, maybe it's a circumstance that didn't go my way or a situation. Sometimes I'm disappointed with God. And like, God, I thought we were going to work this out. You know, I thought we had a bargain. You were going to do this my way. Oh, okay. And I get discouraged. Like, all right, you don't want it that way. Then I remember, wait a minute, this is from the enemy. And let me remind the enemy of something. I'm not for sale. I've been bought. Before I let us go, it's okay to get a little haughty in God. Not in yourself. Yeah, we have weak spots, and yes, we need to stay humble. And yes, we've got to walk carefully. But it's okay sometimes to get a little bit of haughty in God and realize that you are something special on this earth. God's done a great work in you. Heaven has come down and touched your heart and your soul, and you ought to guard that and not let the enemy so easily dissuade you that you're easy work. You're nothing. And I can bend you and I can do what I will with you. I'm sorry, excuse me. I've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That's my argument whenever Satan tries to discourage me. When he thinks he can own me. You know how they say, I own you, right? No, you don't own me. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You celebrate it. And you realize something, that when you're in school or you're on the job and you're among those who don't know him, right? And they know how to so easily push your button, get you to watch this. You know, they know how to get you down. Or you say, wait a minute. How can they affect me when I'm a child of the King? Yeah, they may affect me. Sticks and stones can break my bones. You've heard that? But what? Names can never hurt me? That's a lie they tell children. Adults find out it's not true. But when I realize from internally that I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you know, I may feel the effect of a dart, but it don't kill me. You know, it doesn't kill me. And somehow, instead of bitterness and anger and hate and depression and discouragement, instead of that, because of what the Holy Ghost has done in my life, I may feel the pain of it, but I rise up in a resurrection power and I say, I love you anyway. I'm going to treat you differently than you treat me. Why? Because Jesus Christ bought me. And my character is not for sale. Isn't that wonderful? That's a good way to beat discouragement. Those three things from the counsel of the Word of God. Faith. I choose to believe. I'm going to seek higher ground. I'm going to be with the people of God. That's a good rock to stand on. Jesus is that rock. And lastly, I'm not for sale. Let's stand together. And let's sing that fourth verse. It was 35 if you closed your book. It's all because of the mercies of God. 35, fourth verse.
Goodness and mercy will follow me still. And that cannot fail.
thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Counselor. We thank you for the Counselor that we have, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Word, which is a light, O God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that this day, Lord, with all that is needed to be said and done, and that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Remember, 4:15 is the prayer.